This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to a mindful Ramadan 2022, Leaving a Legacy. This year, our goal is to inspire each of you to choose how you want to be remembered and ignite your passion for contribution, whether at home or on a global scale. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Hala Banani, founder of the Mindful Hearts Academy, my mentorship program where we help women become the absolute best versions of themselves in a loving and supportive community. Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Our guest today is a dynamic, witty, and charismatic man from South Africa who is everyone's uncle, an international consultant in education and human development. He has been head teacher of three schools and conducted numerous workshops in 30 countries, mashallah, tabarakallah. A founding member of AMS, Association of Muslim Schools in South Africa, co-author of Manuals for Schools, The Art of Public Speaking from an Islamic Perspective, and Premarital Conversations and Beyond. We're excited to have Ustad Idris Khamisa. So nice to see you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And with your kind of spontaneous energy, we all feel uplifted. Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khair. And you know, I remember first meeting you when we were giving lectures in Malaysia for the marriage conference. And I was so taken by, mashallah, your energy, your charisma. And then my family and I had the honor of being hosted by you in South Africa. And we felt like family. You took us on this amazing safari. And really, it just is one of the best trips we've ever had, mashallah.
No, alhamdulillah, you know, there is no coincidence in Islam. And I'm so glad that Allah connected us together. And when I shared the platform with you, when I heard you speak, it was as if I was speaking, you know, because there was so much of synergy and the kind of issues you deal with and the way you interact with people. May Allah give you and your family barakah. Let us, inshallah, may through your voice, through your energy, through your insight, may our home be transformed into places of haven, rather than a place of contestation and struggle.
Ameen. I felt the same synergy, mashallah. It's nice when you find someone who is like-minded and we share the same passion. So it's such a pleasure and honor to have you today. Now, mashallah, you have had the experience of training in over 30 countries. So what is your secret sauce? What is your secret in being able to identify with such a diverse group of people, mashallah?
You know, this was a prayer answered. I remember when I went to Makkah, and this is pretty emotional for me. In front of the Kaaba, I said, Ya Allah, you've given me many talents, and I want you to use my talents throughout the world.
SubhanAllah.
Allah opened the doors, and alhamdulillah, you know, whichever country I've been to, I kept in contact with the people that hosted me and the others that I've met, you know. And through that interaction, you meet other people and other people.
Right.
And you realize that the challenges of the Ummah are the same. People are in pain. People feel unfulfilled. Mm-hmm. They are sad at home. And there are all kinds of issues. And much of it deals with the interpersonal relationships. And of course, it also deals with the relationship with Allah, and there's nothing better than to give someone hope, you know.
Absolutely. I can identify with what you're saying, SubhanAllah. Our lives parallel, because it was standing at the Kaaba and asking Allah to use me in His service when my life changed. So everybody, you need to make that dua, use me in your service, and you will be surprised how things happen. And you're right. When you work, you know, just working, having the opportunity to work with thousands of people across the globe, you find everyone's problem is the same. It doesn't matter where they're from, what kind of cultures, but you find that the struggles are the same, SubhanAllah. So how do you identify with so many people? Because you're really able to connect, mashallah. You really make people feel like they are family from the moment you meet them. What is that secret?
I think there are a few things. Firstly, I cannot thank my mom and dad, and may Allah grant our parents the highest status.
Ameen.
They believed in me, and my mother was an extremely compassionate individual, you know. And when she heard a poignant story or a story of pain, she would cry. And I recall when I was studying outside Durban, I should come home. Whenever my mother saw me, she cried. When I left, she cried. And one day I came home, she never cried. I said, "Mommy, you forgot to cry." Immediately.
Something's off. Why aren't you crying?
So I learned that I think my mother's softness was something that moved me, you know, because of compassion, care, and selfless concern for other people. And my dad, you know, always said to me, "My son must not be a spectator in your life," you know. And so many life lessons I've learned from them. That was the one part. The other part is this, you know, I think, you know, we take life too seriously. Mm-hmm. Too serious. They are jokingly saying some people walk around all the time as if they are constipated. You know? And life has so much to offer. And I found that every individual, you know, many of them put on a facade. They give the impression everything is well, it's fine. They may have material possessions. But deep down, you know, they are crying. They are in pain. And I found that when you are able to connect to the hearts of people, when you are present with them, it is so validating for them, you know.
Yes.
And the other thing that I found is that I've learned also to be I'm not saying I'm the best listener in the world, to be a better listener. Mm-hmm. And when you listen, you know, and psychologists will tell you, revealing is healing. Mm-hmm. When you listen to others, you know, they find like a burden off their shoulder. They feel that you're listening to them with love. You are listening not only to the words, but also the emotions. You understand the context. You are listening in a non-judgmental way. And alhamdulillah, I found that. And I found that people, they want to be uplifted. I came across this one saying, the best exercise to do is to uplift people. Yeah. And how beautiful is that?
Beautiful.
Beautiful, right? So in that way, you know, in the end, we all want to leave a legacy. And the legacy is when people look back at your life, there is a moment in which they tear and they make dua to Allah, say, "Ya Allah, forgive him. He was there when everyone else ostracized me. He was there when no one else listened to me. He was there and he listened to me in a non-judgmental way." That itself is something so beautiful. You know, as they say, empires are built in the hearts of people. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to this effect. There is no good in him who neither befriends or is befriended. To make friends and to respond to other people's overtures is so important. And in that way, I'm comfortable with people, no matter who they are, no matter in what social hierarchy they are. I don't feel intimidated by them, because I want to learn from everyone, no matter who you are.
MashaAllah, that's absolutely beautiful. You know, you're so emotionally intelligent, and having your mom as that example, she softened your heart. She planted those seeds of compassion and empathy, and having the ability for you to connect with people on that level is so powerful. And like you said, that is a very important legacy to leave behind. This legacy of service, this legacy of being emotionally present. And, you know, many of the men in our communities have had to mask their emotions. They have been told, "Boys don't cry, you know, suck it up, be tough." And so when they get married, they are unable to be emotionally present. They are unable to express themselves. So what would be your advice to men who have a difficult time in doing this? Maybe they didn't have a mom who would cry for them when they're leaving and greeting them with the cry, and they didn't have that kind of training. So what would be your advice for men to be more expressive and to be emotionally present for their spouse?
You know, whether we like it or not, at every given moment, we are subjected to some emotion. And that emotion informs our thoughts and our behavior. And one of the recurring issues our beloved sisters have is the fact that they say, "You know, my husband never expresses his emotion. He does not demonstrate his love, not express it. And I have to constantly speculate, you know." And if you look at the prophetic example, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so expressive. He was so expressive. Mm-hmm. He showed his emotions. He wore his heart upon his sleeve. You know, there was no discrepancy between his smile and what he felt inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say, you know, often, as you rightly said, you know, in your preamble, you know, it's not about males being men,
mm-hmm.
being macho, having a sense of bravado. Is being a gentleman.
Mm.
There's a difference.
Right.
A gentleman is gentle, as it's in the case. A man who is a gentleman, he's compassionate, he's caring, he shows social etiquette.
Right.
He's responsive. And this is a very important thing. In the end, there's nothing more beautiful when a couple hug each other and they just hug each other.
Mm.
And in that hug, both the spouses here,
mm.
and you know that as I'm holding my beloved wife, I don't have to express my love for her, but I expressed it by showing.
Right.
And when I do that, she feels, and if I do tell her, darling, I love you, she says, I know. I feel it. I experience it.
Right.
And this is the whole thing. And you're right, you know, I cannot thank Allah enough for my formative years. And you know, many couples have gone through experiences in which they grew up in homes where either there was no love,
mm-hmm.
whether the woman's voice was muted,
mm-hmm.
and all of those things. And they grew up thinking that's a norm. That's not a norm. That's not a norm. And what is important is to uplift. You know, when they say a couples are garments unto each other, what a beautiful, beautiful metaphor. A beautiful metaphor. It's about being protective, about beautification. It's about intimacy. It's about saying, say what you want, and with me, you are safe.
Mm, that's so critical. The safety, the emotional safety, right? Because it's not just about physical safety, but it's providing an emotional safety. And for those of you who may not know, our Uncle Idris, he has a beautiful relationship, mashallah, with his wife, and he walks the talk. And this is why I really respect you, because it's one thing to get up and give a talk about having a good marriage, but it's a totally different thing when you actually apply it. That's so critical. And mashallah, he really is expressive, and you always say such beautiful things about your wife, Sister Rukhsana, which I love dearly, mashallah. And so it is critical. And I like how you emphasize the fact of being a man is not about being harsh. Being a man is about being a gentleman, and it's healthy masculinity. So it is you defend your spouse, you're there for them, but it doesn't mean that you shut down your emotions. Thank you for clarifying that, because that's an important point. And what does it mean to you to leave a legacy of service?
It means a lot. None of us angelic.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our issues, and Allah knows us better than anyone else. We have this one life. And I remember coming across a title of this book by Robin Sharma, which goes like, "Who will cry when you die?" It is such a powerful title, you know, such a powerful title.
Right.
And in that book, the subtitle is, "Lead your life in such a way that when you were born, you cry and people were smiling.
Uh-huh.
But when you die, you are smiling and people are crying."
Oh, that's beautiful.
And one of my friends, Fuad Nadi from the UK, uh-huh. may Allah grant him the highest status in Jannah.
Amen.
He said to me, when I was sharing this book with him, he said to me, "Idris, my father told me, my beloved son, when you were born, you were not in control as to who would come and celebrate your birth, but you're in complete control as to who will mourn your loss."
Oh, I got goosebumps.
What a powerful.
Very powerful.
What a powerful thing. Very, very powerful. And it is not about doing great things. It's not about appearing in the newspaper or on television. It's what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Mm.
The person you pass in the street, the commuter you find yourself with, it's about how you engage them. And when you ask them, "How are you?" a total stranger. But when you ask, "How are you?" you really want to know. If he's happy, mm-hmm. you want to share in his happiness.
Right.
If he's in pain, you want to see what you can do to alleviate his pain. Right. It's not about a pleasantry. Mm-hmm. It's about asking the question. And in that way, you become authentic. So the whole thing is that all of us want to leave a legacy. You know, I came across this also. They say there's a difference between a person of success and a person of significance.
Mm.
A person of success, when someone says, oh my gosh, what a successful life. And in our mind, all of us have the image of him having a palatial home, having some number of cars, being exceptionally, you know, affluent and so on and so forth. And that success, you know, they say there's some things you do for your CV, for your curriculum vitae, but there are other things you do for your legacy, and they are not the same. A person could have 100 pages about his CV, but it gives you no indication of what his legacy is.
Mm-hmm.
At the same token, a person of significance is a person who has impacted on the hearts of people.
Beautiful.
The people that you hope to, love to, sympathize with, commiserate with them, listen to them with empathy. Those are the people that remember him.
Mashallah.
Because in the end, this is what we all want.
Beautiful. That is so profound. Leaving a legacy through your impact on others. And it doesn't have to be on a global scale. It is interacting with the people that you come in contact with, putting that energy towards your spouse, your kids, the, you know, the people in your communities. And it has a ripple effect. When you're nice, when you smile, like you said, at the person next to you, and you show them some love, you show them some attention, they will get into a better mood. They will pass on. And it's like passing it forward. And it has a beautiful impact on our communities. If more people saw it that way. And what you said about listening, that's so critical. I had a whole semester in my master's program about how to listen. I think that should be a requirement for every single person, how to listen to understand, not to respond, because people are listening to have a rebuttal, right? But to listen to, I want to hear you out. I want to understand you. So that is a beautiful skill to develop and to be focused on how we can touch the lives of those people around us. Thank you so much for that, mashallah. And let's see, as far as, you know, you have such extensive experience in education, in working with children. So how can a person recognize their strengths or recognize the strengths in their children or the students that they work with in order to foster it? How do we recognize the strengths within ourselves and in children? And then the follow-up question would be, how do we take that strength and make it a legacy?
You know, one of the most critical things that we got to understand is children, you know, they say every child comes to school with a baggage of values, with an IQ, and with an attitude. Now, what often happens, many teachers, what we tend to do, we are so concerned about the cognitive development, about pouring in facts,
right,
regurgitating what's in the textbook, that we forget the child. And I remember there was one individual who was asked this question, that you are going to the school, what are you going to teach? And the response often would be mathematics or science or English or whatever. And his answer was, for me, so instructive. He says, well, I'm going to the school. I do not know what I'm going to teach because I have not met my learners yet.
Oh, wow. That's what profound, right?
That's profound, isn't it?
Yes.
So he understood that teaching is about responding to the needs of the children.
Mm.
It's about making them understand what the world is all about.
Right.
And you see, and every child needs what are called the 6 A's.
Mm.
Every child wants acceptance.
Yeah.
Every child wants affirmation. Every child wants affection. Every child wants attention.
Yes.
Every child wants positive attributes. right? So these are important things. And when the child gets it from you, and children learn through their eyes, no matter how young they are,
mm-hmm.
and when they smile at you, if you respond and you're responsive, they'll love you for that. When you acknowledge them, it is, remember, in this time that you have an opportunity. You are an agent of change.
Mm.
And when you see one telling story that I have, there are many though,
right.
was when I started teaching, and I was teaching one of Charles Dickens' books, mm-hmm. David Copperfield. And these were about 12, 13-year-old kids, you know. And I found that one of the pupils, his work was quite untidy, mm-hmm. you know, and homework often never completed. So I was getting a bit impatient in the naive days. So Allah put it in my heart that I should meet with him. So I said to him, my boy, and as I'm sharing this with you, I able to reenact it and relive this experience. Mm-hmm. I said to him, I would like to see you during the break. You know, they say a teacher is not a sage on the stage, but a guide on the side. He's not a sage on the stage, but a guide on the side. So I called him there in the classroom in the break, and he was quite nervous, you know, but why I'm calling him. And then I asked him, tell me about your background, where you come from. Tell me about your family. And when he started sharing his story, tears began to flow. Mm. He said to me that when I get home, I get a lift in a huge truck. When I get home, it is dark. When I leave home, it is dark. We do not have lights at home. I do my homework under the street lamp. I just held his hand. I said to him, you know what? I'm sorry I did not know this. I'm sorry. But you'll not believe this. Even though his circumstances never changed, his work improved.
Oh, you acknowledged him.
Because he felt the kingship.
Right, right.
He felt the kingship, you know.
Yes.
So that was a, then I realized, and our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew each of the Sahaba. He knew each one of them. And therefore the advice he gave each one was unique. He also gave general advice.
Yeah.
And that to me was a tipping point for me in terms of my own thing. And the whole thing is, I found that one of my strengths in teaching was that I was concerned about the whole being. I was concerned about their happiness. I was concerned about their pain. I was concerned about those things. And I realized that when you show that kind of concern,
yes,
they get so affected by it. And there are many, many things. And I really felt I could not thank Allah enough. Mm. It put me in this particular profession.
MashaAllah.
You know, really, you could liberate the minds of young people.
That's beautiful. MashaAllah. They were privileged to have a teacher that was so compassionate, and that your mission was to impact them and to change them as a whole, not just pour in information, but you were empathetic. You showed concern. And when you do that, it is just, it fosters a person, subhanAllah. So when people can take this information from you and do that with their own kids, where they are more concerned about their emotional well-being, because if someone is in a good emotional state, they can learn better. Just from a psychological perspective, if you yell, if you're harsh, if you restrict, then their minds shut down. But when you give that love, the attention, the care, then it's like they are like sponges that can absorb, and you become their role model, mashallah.
Absolutely. In fact, what you're saying is true, and I just want to reinforce that. A critical thing is that we must give our children self-belief.
Mm-hmm.
We must tell them that, you know, my son, inshallah, you're going to be a leader someday.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in you.
Yes.
Right? And allow them to make mistakes. We are human, right? But we must not repeat our mistakes. And the environment at home mustn't be an environment which is hostile.
Yes.
Where the voices of our children become muted.
Right.
And this is a very important thing, you know. And if you can do that, you know, the mother and father together, understanding that each child is unique, and we need to respond to the uniqueness in a beautiful
way. MashaAllah. I can't emphasize what you said enough. That was so impactful as far as having a home environment that is conducive for growth and is conducive for that emotional connection. Because because the parents are like the soil. So if their relationship is always hostile, if they're fighting, if there is resentment, and sometimes there's just a cold war, then children cannot thrive in that environment. So thank you for sharing that and emphasizing it. And I want to know, what got you into this line of service? I know that your mom had a profound impact on your emotional well-being and being more empathetic. Was there anything else in your life that inspired you to lead a life in service of others?
In fact, my beloved father belonged to numerous organizations.
Okay.
For example, he was in charge of the Blind Society.
Mashallah.
He was involved with helping tuberculosis patients. Mm-hmm. He was involved in acting and so on and so forth. And we grew up in a home where my father used to have meetings with lots of people.
Mm.
And that inspired me. The other thing that inspired me was when I got into the teaching profession, I also got an insight into the family life of those children. And as I went on, and I remember coming across this, they say we are living at a time where the father does the providing, mm. the mother the deciding, and the children the overriding.
Okay.
So I realized, and when I gave up my teaching profession, people asked me, Idris, what are you going to do? I said, no, I'm going to do a marriage program. I'll do a parenting program.
MashaAllah.
And I found, and there were numerous teachers along the way who said to me, Idris, you know, you'll be a great counselor, you know. Mm-hmm. Be a great counselor. At that time, I didn't take it seriously enough. But then, some maybe 15, 20 years ago, I began to counsel. And I found that there's no greater joy than bringing couples together, no greater joy than uplifting people, mm. no greater joy than creating a home that has become a sanctuary, place in which children and the siblings, the parents are all very happy to be together.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. So you bring up so many important points. One is that you were talking about how your father inspired you. So he was having meetings. He was leading the blind organizations, TB patients, and having meetings at home. So parents, it's so important. You have to teach by modeling. He wasn't telling you, you need to necessarily get into an organization, but because he did that, you were inspired by it, mashallah. So we really need to model the correct behavior for our children. And what you said, it really resonates with me that nothing makes me more euphoric than when you save a marriage. And sometimes when someone gets out of an abusive marriage, it's just as euphoric because you feel, you know, you just saved them. You saved the children. So it's so nice to connect with someone who has the same passions, mashallah, the same. You're just a beautiful human being, and you always spread joy. You spread joy. You spread laughter. And I want to know, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want to be remembered for, inshallah?
Inshallah, I like to be remembered, firstly, inshallah, that I was a loving husband, and my wife is smiling. And I'm,
Allahu Akbar. He wants his legacy to be a loving husband. MashaAllah. Can we hear an Allahu Akbar?
Caring sibling, a compassionate individual, a person that was involved with the community, and a person that anyone came for help, I never left them, inshallah, empty-handed.
MashaAllah.
So I want to leave a legacy in which, inshallah, that the prayers of those that I leave behind, inshallah, would invoke Allah's mercy, would invoke His mercy. And inshallah, that Allah would grant me, my wife, Amen. And all those that I love, inshallah, Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Ameen. Ameen.
Well, this is what would be really a prize, a beautiful prize. But notwithstanding the prize, it all what we do is done intrinsically, because not only it is expected of us, it makes us feel good doing it.
Right.
And you know, it's not easy.
No.
What we do is not easy.
Not at all.
To carry the pain of others, to listen to the anger of others, is not easy at all. But when you look at the success rate, when people come back to you, they remind you. You remember so many years ago, you came to our home.
Yes.
We are on the brink of divorce. Your kind words, your practical advice brought us together.
MashaAllah.
So that is inshallah.
MashaAllah. You are just such a genuine, such a sincere, MashaAllah, leader, and you inspire us. I love the energy that you have, such genuine optimism, and very few people have that. People, a lot of people say Alhamdulillah, but it doesn't show on their faces. It doesn't show on their energy level. So it's MashaAllah, so refreshing to have your perspective. And I want to know, how can people get a hold of you? How can they benefit from your beautiful words and your impactful programs?
They can either WhatsApp me. You have my phone number. They could do that.
Are you sure you want to give out your phone number, Uncle Idris?
No. You know, I don't mind, you know, because sometimes it's easier to communicate to someone without writing, you know, lengthy notes and whatnot, you know.
Okay.
I just find that I'm more responsive when it comes to that, you know.
MashaAllah. What about on your website? So is it idriskamisa.com?
I think it's idriskamisa.com. Yes.
Okay. And they can get your programs and schedule appointments with you?
Yes, they could do that, inshallah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we want people to benefit from you. You have a beautiful heart and a beautiful mission. And since it's Ramadan, we would love for you to end it with a dua for us and for all the viewers, inshallah.
Inna Allah malaikatu yasalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhallazina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, we cannot thank you enough for all the wonderful things you have given us, Ya Allah. We are living at a time when the ummah is bleeding, Ya Allah. People are despondent, dejected, Ya Allah. But as believers, Ya Allah, we are expected to be optimistic. This world is going to be a test on us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, in view of the discussions we've been having, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, soften the hearts of people, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let people, it's a month of forgiveness, the month of Quran, Ya Allah. Let us rekindle our love for the Quran, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you want to forgive us, Ya Allah. We must just take the step towards you and you'll run towards us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make this the most beautiful month for us in our hearts. Let it manifest in change behavior, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those people that are contemplating separation, Ya Allah, let them do a rethink, Ya Allah. Let them talk to people that can support and help them, Ya Allah. Because there is no shortcut, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, to our children, Ya Allah, guide them. The world is alluring. It is enticing. It is very, very seductive, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us, as the elders of the home, be an inspiration, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, my dua is also for my beloved sister, Hala Banani, that Allah gives her a long, long, pious life, Ya Allah, and gives the whole family, and they're such a beautiful family, Ya Allah, an example to all of us, that she continues to be inspiration to the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we also make dua that we are able to reconnect with those that are in pain, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, as the ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we cannot thank you enough for our iman, Ya Allah.
Amen.
Let the most beautiful day be the day when you call us to you, Ya Allah.
Amen.
Ya Allah, please forgive us, Ya Allah.
Amen.
Those that have passed away, grant them gentle to those.
Amen.
Those that are unwell, Ya Allah, give them complete shifa.
Amen. MashaAllah. JazakAllah khair for the beautiful dua, very comprehensive, and also for the personal dua for my family and myself. And may Allah answer all your du'as, you, your beautiful wife, Sister Ruhsana, your mother-in-law, may Allah cure her and let your message resonate in the world, mashallah, with the impact that you've had. And I really pray that you exceed past all your expectations, inshallah. And may Allah give you good health and a prosperous life. Jazakallah khairan for your time. Jazakallah khair for all the words of wisdom. We have really benefited greatly, mashallah, alhamdulillah. This concludes this uplifting episode. Jazakallah khairan, Ustad Idris Khamisa, for joining us for such an insightful discussion on leaving a legacy. We hope you're inspired and motivated to leave a positive and strong legacy for your family and the Ummah. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends and family. And remember to sign up for free to get the replay summary, notes, and to be notified when we return for another episode of A Mindful Ramadan. And remember, if you're interested in overcoming your personal obstacles and becoming the best version of yourself, join our loving and supportive sisterhood at themindfulhearts.com. Jazakallah khairan for tuning in. Thank you so much. And it was wonderful seeing you. Please give my love and salams to Sister Ruhsana.
May Allah keep us strong. Remember us in your prayers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Inshallah, until we meet again.
Inshallah. We are going to meet.
We are. Inshallah. We had such beautiful times with you. I can't wait. Take care. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Bye-bye.